Chapter 29. When the revival machine unloaded me into a tray some time later, I felt weary. I figured I'd probably died more times on Death World than on any other planet I'd ever visited. I was tired of dying, and frankly, I hated the place. A bio I didn't know went to work on me. She was a big woman with big, wet, strong hands. She did everything but lift me up in the air and slap me on the ass. After poking and prodding for a full minute, she declared me a good grow and rousted me off her gurney. "Back at 'em, vet," she said. "We've only got a few hours before it's go time." I blinked at her uncomprehendingly. "Go time? Back to your unit. They'll explain everything. Or not." A man with a veteran's rank wasn't supposed to be depressed by death, but I was feeling a bit down. It had always bugged me when my own officers killed me. It just didn't seem right somehow. Marching down the passages of the lifter to the ramps, I wandered out into a camp I'd never seen before. The ground around it was a burnt wasteland rather than the lush green of the forest. The biggest shock was the glare of the orange sun overhead. I'd never seen the sun directly on Death World. There'd always been one branch or another of megaflora in the way. But today it was clear skies and sunshine as far as I could see. The lifter had been moved out of the forested region so that it couldn't be easily ambushed by the pod walkers. To get to us now, they'd have to march across miles of open, blasted land. The landing ship stood in the dead zone that had been created by the broadsides Turov had fired when we'd first arrived. The tree trunks were still there, but only as smoldering, broken towers of charcoal. In the distance, what had to be 5 kilometers away, was the living wall of the forest. The edge of it was scorched and blackened in places, but the farther away you looked, the greener it was. I found Graves with a loose knot of his officers around him. Leeson, Harris, and Toro were all there. There must have been a dark look in my eye, because Leeson stepped into my path and planted his hand on my chest plate.
"Welcome back, McGill," he said. "What can I do for you?"
"I'm just here for the briefing, sir," I said. "Could you get out of my way?"
"I need an assurance. I've heard some bad things about your recent behavior. Now, I know you're a hothead, and I can normally accept that. But today we're committed to action very soon. I need to know you aren't going to mess with our schedule."
My eyes, which had been focused on Graves all this time, finally slid to Leeson. "You're asking if I'm going to kill Graves for whacking out my entire squad with a missile, is that it?" Leeson nodded seriously. I sighed. "I've been thinking. I can understand why he did what he did. He couldn't afford to send anyone out to pick us up."
"That's right," Leeson said. "You were over 200 kilometers out. Our only flying vehicle is the lifter itself. He didn't like losing your equipment, but he needed to get you back here pronto. If he hadn't acted, you might well have been lost in the woods forever and probably permed."
"I get that, sir. Can you let me in on the briefing now?" Reluctantly, Leeson stepped aside. I walked up and joined the circle. Harris looked alarmed at my approach. He frowned at me like I was an invader. I ignored him and stared at Graves.
"McGill," Graves asked when he saw me, "it's about time you showed up. Why are you looking at me like that? Don't tell me you're about to start whining about a bad death." "Good, keep it that way. All right, people. It's go time in less than 2 hours. The target can't be permitted to get away, and we can't afford to damage it. Therefore, no missiles, no heavy weapons, not even belchers. This will be carried out entirely with small arms and infantry. We must seize the target vehicle intact. Unit dismissed."
Even though I had no idea what the target was, I was game to capture it. Since I'd obviously missed most of the briefing, I hung around as others moved away to marshal their troops. The group of officers and non-coms broke up, but Harris and Leeson lingered, eyeing me with suspicion. I wasn't sure if I should take that as a compliment or an insult. It was a little of both, I guess.
McGill, Graves said, walk with me.
We took a stroll around the lifter. Leeson and Harris stared after us, but they didn't follow. The pigs had dug a new ring of trenches in the scorched ground, but I could tell the trench lines were tighter than they'd been before, almost under the shadow of the lifter. Also, the anti-personnel turrets were open and ready for business.
James McGill, Graves said slowly, chuckling to himself. I have to admit, I didn't think you'd make it back.
One missile did the trick.
I sent three, actually. I wanted to be sure.
That was mighty thoughtful of you, sir.
Smartass, he said, smiling. Do you want to know why I brought you back and insisted you be revived immediately?
Tell me, sir.
Because you have that translator app. We might need that. Any knowledge of how these weird aliens operate will be helpful in the upcoming operation.
Are we talking about attacking a vehicle of some kind, sir? I pretty much missed the briefing, and I'm in the dark concerning the details.
We found one of their ships, he said. It's just a transport, not a starship. It's lying right at the edge of this blast zone. It might be damaged. We can't be sure.
Nodding, his statement provided another reason why they'd moved the lifter to this damaged region of the forest. I'd thought they'd moved just to put some distance between the pod walkers and our last remaining forces, but now I realized they'd found something interesting here.
You see, Graves continued, all this is to be a manufacturing area, a special zone on the planet that worked metals and built high-tech gear. God knows how a bunch of plants work metal, but they seem to be able to do it. Most of the region has been destroyed, but one assault ship survived.
How did you detect it, sir? He shrugged.
The techs did that. As I understand it, the task wasn't difficult. It's a low-metal world, and an object of refined titanium stands out among a mass of sensory data.
Got it. What's the ship for, sir?
We plan to fly it up to Minotaur and retake her. That's why we have to capture it intact.
Why not just fly up in the lifter we've got right here? Graves shook his head.
That's what I wanted to do. Tribune Drusus, too. But Turov overruled us. She didn't want to risk everything on a single throw of the dice. If we can use a vehicle that we captured, well, the stakes aren't as high. If we fail, we can start over again down here on the ground. We haven't lost everything.
I thought about that, and it did make a certain amount of sense. Still, the plan sounded iffy and overly cautious to me. But, sir, I said, what if we can't fly this alien craft? What if we're wasting time trying, and in the meantime Minotaur is destroyed or fortified for use by the enemy? Hell, they might be figuring out how to fly our own ship right now, and maybe they'll figure that out faster than we can figure out how to fly theirs.
Excellent points, all of which I've made publicly. You know what all my objections bought me?
I frowned for a second, then brightened with inspiration. A front row seat on this mission?
Bingo. Our unit will be leading the charge. It's our lucky day.
Thanks for the private briefing, sir, I said. Is that all you wanted to tell me?
No, there's one more thing. I wanted to warn you to stay away from Turov. I know you might harbor ill will toward her, but you need to swallow that emotion like a non-com is supposed to do.
Confusion spread over my face until I got the message. Graves thought I might go ballistic and attack Turov for having disconnected our tappers and leaving my squad out in the bush to rot. Sure, the thought had crossed my mind, but I wasn't going to act on it. Everyone seemed to think I was some kind of hothead. I supposed, after some of the things I'd said and done in the past, a man had to expect to gain a certain reputation. Message received, sir, I said.
Excellent, Graves said. Gather your squad as soon as they exit the revival machine, piece together spare equipment for everyone, and get ready to march. Dismissed.